Today's story of swords, sorcerers, and superheroes is The Silver Arrow by Tony Bradman and Tony Ross. Times were tough in England in the years after the Norman invaders came. They conquered the whole country with fire and sword. They robbed and killed and looted and pillaged, and they took the best of everything for themselves, especially the farmland. Then they settled down to rule over the ordinary people, the Saxons, with violence and cruelty and scorn. Few people dared to stand against their might, and those who did rebel were soon crushed, all except one, a young man the people knew as Robin Hood. Some said that Robin was really Robert of Locksley, the son of a Saxon noble, and that his father had been murdered by some Norman knights so they could seize his land. Others said Robin was the son of a poor hunter or a yeoman's farmer's son who had been set upon by a gang of Norman soldiers for no reason, and had left three of them dead before making his escape. Whatever the truth, Robin had long ago been declared an outlaw, and had taken refuge in the depths of Sherwood Forest, an ancient wood that stood near the city of Nottingham. There he gathered a band of faithful followers, boys and men, and some girls and women too, many of whom had seen their homes burned and their entire family slaughtered before their eyes. But Robin and his followers, his band of outlaws as he called them, did a lot more than just hide. They struck back hard and often, swooping on columns of Norman soldiers who strayed near the forest, killing dozens of in a hail of arrows, then silently returning into the darkness between the trees. They held up Norman travellers as well, robbing the rich to give to the poor. The Saxons adored Robin, and wherever the people gathered, they told each other news of his latest escapades. They were proud of his daring and his boldness, his sense of humour and fighting skills. Many of the outlaws were fine archers, Will Scarlet being particularly good, but Robin was said to be the best shot with a longbow in all England. And somehow, just knowing Robin was standing up for them seemed to keep the people going. The Normans, of course, feared and hated Robin Hood in equal measure. One Norman in particular, the Sheriff of Nottingham, the local overlord, a brutal and cunning man, grew ever more determined to catch Robin and end his mischief once and for all. But no matter how many expeditions he set against Robin, no matter how many men he set to guard travellers on the road, he could no more catch Robin Hood than seize a handful of mist. So the Sheriff brooded in his great grim stone castle, wondering what he could do. And eventually he devised a plan that he thought might work. One dark evening, a young boy, the son of one of the outlaws, ran into a clearing deep in the heart of Sherwood Forest, the secret hideaway of Robin and his band. They were sitting round a campfire, eating their evening meal, venison from a deer that belonged to the Sheriff of Nottingham. Robin always said poaching deer from the Sheriff made it taste even better. "Robin," the boy said, skidding to a halt before him, "have a look. It was pinned to the door of a tavern, and there are more all over the place." The boy eagerly held out a piece of parchment to Robin, who took it from him and read what was written on it. Then Robin smiled and looked up. "Listen to this, lads," he said, as the outlaws grew quiet. "It seems our old friend the Sheriff of Nottingham is in need of entertainment. He wants to find the best bowman in England, so he's holding an archery contest at the castle. There's a rich prize for the man who wins, too, a silver arrow." "But you're not seriously thinking of entering, are you, Robin?" said Marion, Robin's sweetheart, a worried expression on her face. "It's a trap." "Marion's right, Robin," said Will Scarlet, who had been with him since the earliest days in Sherwood. "He knows you're the best archer in England." "And he knows you can't resist a challenge," said Friar Tuck, another long-standing band member. "So it's just a crafty way of flushing you out." One by one, the other outlaws, Much the Miller's son, Little John, Allan a Dale, and the rest, joined in, each of them saying the same thing, all of them worried for their leader. The clearing was filled with the noise of their voices, until at last Robin held up his hands and quieted them down again. "Of course it's a trap," said Robin, still smiling in the flickering firelight. "I know that as well as any of you. All the more reason to go and beat it."
"But what good will it do to put yourself in such danger?" said Marion. "You're the people's only hope, the only thing that keeps them going."
"Exactly," said Robin. He was grinning now.
So think how they'll feel if I can beat the sheriff at his own game, if I can tweak his beard in front of him.
Ah, since you put it like that, said Friar Tuck, his eyes twinkling.
The other outlaws were glancing at each other, several of them starting to smile too. Marion, however, looked as if she needed more convincing.
I'm not sure, Robin, she said, frowning at him. I think it's too risky.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Marion, just being a Saxon these days is pretty risky, laughed Robin. The outlaws laughed with him, and Marion smiled.
At least this way we might have some fun, Robin added.
Anyway, trust me, I'll come up with a plan. The sheriff isn't the only one who can be cunning.
A week later, the day of the archery contest dawned bright and sunny, and a great crowd began to gather in the main courtyard of the sheriff's castle. The Saxon people, who needed some entertainment themselves, were kept to one side, penned in behind a barrier and watched by a line of hard-faced Norman soldiers in their iron helmets and chainmail. Their swords were drawn. A special pavilion, a gaudy thing of bright silks and fluttering pennants, had been set up for the sheriff at the far end of the courtyard so he could have the best view of the contest and also be protected from the glare of the sun. He sat in a chair as big as a king's throne, on a raised platform flanked by his bodyguard and surrounded by rich local Normans and their wives. A low table stood in front of the sheriff, and the silver arrow lay on it.
"I trust our men have been told to stay vigilant," the sheriff muttered to the captain of the guard who was standing beside him, "and that they're to ensure, on pain of their own deaths, that the man we want does not escape."
"Don't worry, my lord, they've all been fully briefed," the captain replied, smiling. "This is going to be a day to remember. By the way, two of the guard have said they want to enter the contest themselves. Do they have your permission?"
"Oh, yes, yes," the sheriff hissed irritably and waved at the captain. The sheriff, in fact, was feeling rather tense and kept scanning the faces in the crowd, wondering if one of them might be his arch-enemy, the shadowy Saxon outlaw who had caused him so much trouble. The sheriff had never seen Robin Hood, so he had no idea what he looked like. No one had even been able to give the sheriff a description of him. At last the sheriff summoned his herald and told him to get things moving. The herald blew his temper and the competitors marched out. They lined up before the sheriff and the herald explained the rules of the contest. The sheriff leaned forward to study the competitors more closely, knowing already that more than 100 men from all over the country had come to try and win the silver arrow. He could see now that they were mostly Saxons, some young, a few old, and the rest of them ordinary-looking Saxon peasants, except for the two Normans the captain had mentioned, who stood apart. Only one of the contestants seemed to stand out, the sheriff thought, and that was a sturdy fellow, dressed from head to foot in Lincoln green, and with the hood of his tunic raised so no one could see his face.
Very suspicious, thought the sheriff, narrowing his eyes and rubbing his chin. He decided this mysterious hooded archer might well be the man to watch. Then, with another blast from the herald's trumpet, the contest began. The targets had been set up against the castle wall at a distance of 50 paces for the first round. The archers stepped forward one by one to take their shots, the crowd loudly enjoying themselves, the sheriff and his men silently watching the proceedings like hawks. Half the competitors were quickly eliminated, the targets moved back a further 25 paces and so on. Soon there were 10 competitors, the target at 125 paces, then 5 archers with the target at 150 paces, and all 5 were very good. 2 of them were the Norman soldiers who had entered the contest, which gave the sheriff some satisfaction. At least it showed the Saxons and Normans could be good archers too, although the crowd booed every time they took a shot. The other 3 were Saxons, 2 of them fine archers, but the 3rd had easily been the best bowman of all during the contest so far, and he was none other than the mysterious hooded man. He hit the centre of the target every time and never lowered his hood or seemed to speak. The sheriff glanced now at the captain of his bodyguard and nodded slightly at him. The captain turned to whisper an order to one of his men, and soon more Norman soldiers appeared from behind the pavilion. They moved forward and stood behind the 5 competitors, the bright sunlight glinting off their iron helmets and their swords.
The captain looked at the sheriff, but the sheriff gave him a signal that obviously meant he should wait a little. Meanwhile, the contest was entering its final phase. The two Saxons took their last shots, which were fine but not good enough to win. Then the two Normans took their shots, which were of much the same standard. And then the mysterious hooded man stepped forward. A hush fell over the castle courtyard, everyone holding their breath as he raised his great longbow. He pulled back the string, aimed, and let fly, the arrow swishing through the air and thudding into the dead centre of the target, the best shot of the day. The Saxon crowd cheered happily, but then things happened very fast. "Hold that man!" yelled the sheriff, who could remain patient no longer. The waiting soldiers did just that, grabbing the mysterious hooded man and holding him by the arms. The crowd murmured in confusion, then began to boo, but the sheriff took no notice. He leapt up from his seat and strode over to the soldiers and the contestants, the captain hurrying behind him.
"My lord," the captain said breathlessly, "I think you should know that..."
"Not now, you idiot," the sheriff snapped irritably, waving him away again. The sheriff walked on, stopping eventually in front of the hooded man, who stood between his Norman captors with his head down.
"So, Robin Hood," he said, practically spitting out the name, "we meet at last."
And with that, the sheriff roughly pulled back the man's hood to reveal a smiling young face.
"Well, what do you have to say?" snarled the sheriff.
"Not much," said the young man, "except that I'm not the one you're looking for."
"Ha!" snorted the sheriff. "You're just trying to save your skin. Guards, take the wretch away. We'll hang him later after we've tortured him."
"Not so fast there yet, lads," said one of the two Norman soldiers who had competed in the contest. "He's telling the truth. He isn't Robin Hood."
"What are you talking about, man?" the sheriff spluttered furiously, his face red with anger. "How can you possibly know whether he is or he isn't?"
"Because his name is Will Scarlet," said the soldier, removing his helmet. "I'm Robin Hood, and now it's time to end this contest. Seize him, Alan." Suddenly, the other Norman contestant whipped out a dagger and moved forward. And before anyone could stop him, he grabbed the sheriff and held the dagger to his throat, the point pressing into his skin. The crowd howled, and the sheriff's men were dazed and confused, not knowing what to do next.
"Don't just stand there, you fools," the sheriff yelled. "Kill them."
"I wouldn't do that if I were you, lads," said Robin, smiling and laughing. "One false move, and I promise you that my friend Alan here will cut the sheriff a brand new windpipe. In fact, you'd better all drop your weapons, and if you want another reason for doing that, have a look around you." The captain and his men did as Robin said, and saw figures suddenly appearing on the castle walls emerging from the crowd. Outlaws from Robin's band, each one carrying a bow with an arrow aimed at a Norman heart. Several of the contestants stepped forward and joined Robin too. The captain and his men dropped their weapons with a clatter.
"I'm very sorry, my lord," said the captain, "but I was trying to tell you we found a couple of the men stripped of their uniforms and tied up."
"All part of the plan, sheriff," said Robin, "and not a bad fit either." Then Robin turned to address the crowd. "The sheriff thought he could trap me, Robin Hood, by setting up this contest," he said, his voice ringing loud and clear. "But it looks like we've managed to spoil his day, don't you think?" The crowd roared its appreciation, and Robin and his outlaws smiled.
"Bah!" snorted the sheriff. "If you were Robin Hood, then the stories about your archery can't be true. You were beaten in the contest fair and square."
"Oh, is that so?" said Robin. He knew the sheriff was trying to belittle him in front of the crowd. "Well, perhaps I'd better give everybody here a taste of what I can really do. You don't mind if I have another shot, do you, Will?"
"Be my guest, Robin," said Will.
"But mine is a hard shot to beat." Robin didn't reply. He raised his bow, took an arrow from his quiver, and fitted it to the string. He slowly drew the arrow back until its feathers rested on his cheek. He aimed at the target, the one with Will's last arrow sticking out of its centre. And once more the crowd, in fact everybody in the courtyard, Norman and Saxon, rich and poor alike, held its breath. Robin stood for several seconds, bow poised, the sun shining on him. Then he released the string and his arrow flew straight and true through the air and split Will's arrow right down the middle, thwacking into exactly the same spot at the very centre of the target. A great cheer went up from the crowd, and even the Normans were impressed. The sheriff's jaw fell open in amazement against Alan O'Dale's arm, which was still around his throat.
"Well, that ought to prove who I am, and no mistake," said Robin, rubbing his hands. "And I think a shot like that deserves a rich prize, don't you, Sheriff? Well, fetch me the silver arrow while I find out where Marion's got to with the horses."
Will went to collect the silver arrow from where it lay on the table in front of the pavilion, and Robin pulled a hunting horn from beneath his chainmail. He blew three loud blasts on it, and soon Marion came cantering through the castle gates on a tall horse, leading four more behind her, and rode up to him. She was wearing Lincoln green and had a bow slung across her back.
"I take it everything's gone to plan then, Robin," she said, and smiled.
"Oh yes, Marion," Robin replied, swinging into the saddle of one of the spare horses. "And now it's time to head for home. I'm afraid you're coming too, Sheriff," he added. "At least as far as the edge of the forest, anyway. But it's a lovely day for a ride in the country, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it." Will got the sheriff onto one of the horses and tied his hands to the saddle. Then they mounted, and Robin led them past the cheering crowd and towards the gate, holding the silver arrow above his head in triumph, with Marion beside him. Once outside, they broke into a gallop, hooves thundering as they made for Sherwood Forest in the distance. And inside the castle, the other outlaws faded away like ghosts in the sunlight before the Normans managed to pull themselves together and do anything. A few hours later, the sheriff returned, still tied to a horse, but sitting backwards on it now and minus all his clothes. The Saxon people thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen, and the story soon travelled around England, along with the tale of everything else that had happened that day. Robin's fight against the Normans wasn't over, of course. It went on for many more years, and he and the Sheriff of Nottingham had other encounters, although the Sheriff's reputation never really recovered. Robin's fame grew and grew, though, and to this day, wherever poor people fight against the tyranny of others, his name is remembered and stories told about him. But this story is at an end, so let's leave Robin and his band of outlaws sitting round their campfire surrounded by the dark of Sherwood Forest, the sound of their talk and laughter rising to the branches above their heads.